That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
Hey, good morning. That wheel's rolled around again. It's Saturday morning, June 16th. Time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. So pour you a cup. Get your Bible out. Join us, won't you? For coffee. We'll be right back. Enjoy this song this morning.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score, don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And again, we say good morning, cause that old wheel has rolled around again. It's Saturday morning, June 16th, 2012. We welcome you to coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we do say good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. We're going to start out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the most blessed and holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to gather around here, the Radio Ranch microphone, this beautiful morning in June. Lord, thank you for the foundation that was laid before us that you allow us to build upon, to continue to put your word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, out to the world, to the remnant. Father, thank you for all the blessings. Lord, surely our cup runneth over with the blessings and goodness and mercy that you've poured out upon us. Lord, we look around at the world and we know we're in Babylon. Lord, the world just gets worse and worse, it seems, every day. But Lord, we thank you for your remnant. Thank you for opening our eyes and our ears and letting us see your word. Know that it's all in your plan. And that, Lord, it will all come to an end. All this sin and the filth and degradation that's all about us in the world, Lord, it's just for a season. It's just for a short while, Lord. And then it's all coming down. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come, your will to be done, Lord. We hasten your kingdom to come. Lord, be with us today. Guide and direct our thoughts and our words. Let it be an encouragement to the remnant that's out there, Lord, that are tuning in this Saturday morning and that will listen in on the rebroadcast and in the archives as well. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And it is June 16th. Boy, it's right at the brink of summer. Feels like summer out here sometimes. And, John, how are things going down there, being that you're living next to the third largest wildfire in Colorado's history?
Yeah, fixing to move up in rank, I think. But, I got to say, this is probably the first morning that it's fairly clear outside, not very smoky. We've had the air on for the last week. Fortunately, when I had my AC system, I traded a Suburban diesel I had to a commercial contractor, and they put in a commercial system with a 4-inch filter, and it's done a great job of filtering out the smoke. So we've been blessed that we haven't had to evacuate. But talking with Jason, there was a couple miles from here, there's a huge dairy farm, and that fire was threatening that dairy farm. And they told him just to let the cows go, a couple thousand cows, just let them go. You know, it's only his whole livelihood. And he said no. And they got a bulldozer, and he took a bulldozer, and he cut his own fire break right at the edge of his property with the bulldozer. And anything flammable for about 100 yards, he got out of there and turned on all his sprinklers for his fields, and the fire never made it down to his property. But had he had just left like they wanted him to and let his cows go, probably wouldn't have a place to go back to. So,
amen.
Sometimes you got to take a stand.
Yeah, and we've heard of several down there doing that. I've heard of several that live up on the mountain that maybe haven't even left.
People are irritated too, because they evacuated the whole Horse Tooth, you know, all the way from north to south, the Horse Tooth Reservoir, and the fire never got more than probably a quarter of the way from the north dam to the south, and they'd put a pretty good stop on it on Monday evening, but they didn't let the people go back till I think it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. So when they were interviewing a bunch of these people, they're like, well, we'll think twice before we evacuate next time. And I guess there's a lot of people up in the mountain subdivisions who are refusing to evacuate, because once you leave, you can't get back up there for who knows how long.
Right. That's true. That's true. You know, I'm looking at the updated map this morning, and as best I can tell, that camp that we went to 2 years ago, it's a spot of green in a sea of red right now.
Yeah, they were saying that there's a Christian camp up there, that the fire went to three sides and stopped. So, praise God, he's protecting it.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that it'll be open because of power lines and like that. So, don't know yet.
Right. So, folks, we do tell you that the church is okay. Jason and John's house are okay right now. Boy, if you look at this, if you look at the map, you can see where it grew right up to within a mile of behind Jason's house, and that's pretty much where it stopped. It looks like
about a mile from my house too.
Yeah, it looked like it might have creeped down in a little meadow and right across from John's house as well. And I think when those prayers were offered up Sunday, the prayers were requested, and they were sure offered up. And God said, "Okay, we'll hold that fire right there."
Got a little bit of a praise report too. Let's see. Well, I know at least three people who are affected. Maybe, well, probably more than that. Probably about three pretty closely, I know. And two of them thought that their houses were gone for sure. And one of them had been told that since early on, that it was gone. And they had a friend on the fire department that said, well, I walked through your house the other day. So their house is still there. Don't know the extent of damage or anything, but praise the Lord, there's one. And then man who works for me, electrician, who thought his house was gone, just found out last night that his house is still there. So,
wow, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
That.
Yeah, unfortunately, another man that I worked with for years, his house was right across from the house that I built up the canyon about 10 years ago. everything in that canyon's gone. But the interesting thing is, the two that found out that their houses are still there are believers, and the one who lost his house is not a believer.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how we've been praying. So.
It is.
If there's a line drawn and people can see that, then maybe that'll finally wake some people up. But, I mean, you hate to wish somebody to lose their house and this and that, but if that's what it takes to bring them to salvation, then that's a small price to pay.
I think better to lose their house than lose their eternal soul and eternal life. What do you think?
Yeah, it was interesting. The guy that works for me, the electrician, he had had a bunch of losses in his life. Father, brother, sister, stepdaughter. And he went into the insurance company, and the insurance agent says, "How are you smiling?" Because, you know, thinking his house was gone. And he says, "My reward isn't here." You know, what a response. What a testimony.
Yeah, he has had a rough... He's had a rough couple of years, that's for sure.
Yeah, but he says, like, once you lose family members, which we learn too, all this other stuff is just stuff, you know?
Yeah.
A house is nothing compared to losing your loved one.
Well, Kyle?
Yes, sir?
What do you have to say about all that this morning?
Well, first...
Sitting over there in your sharp-looking brown Wrangler shirt. Man, I like that shirt. You ought to see him this morning. John, he is just dressed...
Do we need a video camera?
You know, we might need one. He's got that...
No, not for me.
He's got that nice brown Wrangler shirt and just looking sharp this morning.
Well, you know, like you said in your opening prayer, there's a lot to be thankful for. And I agree with everything John just said, you know, and don't discredit those prayers. Those prayers are powerful. But I would like to say out there that, you know, if the wind shifted today and the house burnt down that was a believer, that doesn't mean they're not a believer.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, and so I grew up in a church where everybody would say, "See, that happened to them because they're going to hell. See, this happened to me because I'm not." And when the winds would turn, they would never turn their statement. So it was a lopsided belief to begin with, because, you know, if anything bad happened to him, it was just, it rains on the just and the unjust. If anything good happened to him, it was, look at us, you know.
Yeah.
And I just, because there's so many Christians, we all know so many true Christians that have had horrible things happen to them. I just want to put it out to the people out there that just because your house don't get burned, or just because you do get burned, doesn't mean you are gods or aren't gods. But at the same time, we pray for things. If they happen, you should immediately thank the Lord.
Amen.
and give him all credit, because he does deserve all credit, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, I know it ain't nothing like what you meant, but I
I meant was that the way we prayed specifically was a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around those who belong to God, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think he should
them, their families, and their property. But those who despise God, who mock God, let there be utter destruction. So, I mean,
amen.
When you pray like that...
And you get results, you need to...
Yeah.
I agree 100%, you know.
Right.
And it is, you know, it's something to be so thankful for and to give God total credit. You know?
Right.
And that's what you did, and I appreciate it, you know. But
what really is impressing is this young man Dave. You know, he's praising God whether he lost his house or not. He's praising God even though he's lost four family members close to him in the last 2 years. And so that's quite a testimony.
It is, you know, because he's went through so much so recently too.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
And you know, John, the thought occurs to me is that he's learned to do that. Just like we learned to do that, you know.
Yep.
We learned from our pastor that you rejoice always.
Yeah.
And
yep. Amen.
And I'm sure that
never had a bad thing happen to him.
Right. And I'm sure that your friend has seen that in you. I know that he has in the times that we've had a chance to speak and whatnot. That and you know, there's many times we don't realize the example that we set. We don't realize, you know, how we react to things. We don't always know who's watching and who sees. You know, sometimes there's friends and business acquaintances like that that, you know, when we're going through things, if we can deal with them biblically, you know, and have the right response, that, you know, it's in times like that, I think, that our light for Christ truly shines. You know, it's not always when we're standing on the on the street corner, or telling our friend at work or wherever over coffee that, you know, hey buddy, you need to repent, or you know, this is what the Bible says or not. I think it's so many times, John, in that that little sign you held up, that the best sermons are lived, and they don't even have to be sermons, you know. But when we live the Christian life.
Yeah, and testimonies, yeah.
It is. It is truly a testimony to others. And there's many times that we don't even know it, and that's okay. You know, that good seed is planted, and you know, if through our lives we've given a testimony just in our actions, or maybe in our non-action, you know, not acting the way the world does, there are people around us that see that. And I think that's that good seed that's planted, so that when that adversity or that type of situation comes in their life, you know, they have that example.
Yep. Well, we're coming up on Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day. Just thinking that, you know, you can get a little down sometimes, and I don't have a father anymore, at least an earthly father, but I do have a heavenly father, and I wonder how many of us actually say Happy Father's Day to the Heavenly Father. So, Happy Father's Day, Heavenly Father.
Amen. Amen. Kyle, you look like you found something in your Bible you wanted to share.
What brought to my mind during that little discussion was Romans 8:35, where it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" And then it goes on to say, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long." And I just was thinking, you know, that so many people, on so less of something happening than John's electric buddy, have basically let that separate them from the love of Christ, you know. Really, what it gets here is the only thing that can separate you from it is sin. And fear is sin.
Yeah.
Bitterness is sin. And that's the type of things that, well, even when the pastor died, you know, it separated some people from the love of Christ.
Yeah.
Because they felt like, you know, well, if God's going to let Pastor Peters die, you know, it like give them doubt or something. Mm-hmm. And they let tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and peril and they let it affect them to the point of, well, damnation if they stay that way.
If they stay that way.
And it's sad, you know.
They failed the test.
They failed the test, exactly. You know, and then you see guys that go through unbelievable things, you know, unbelievable to us, where we would say, you know, we don't know what we'd do in that situation because they're that bad, you know. And we see them passing the test, you know, what a glory, you know. And like Richard said, you never know who's going to see that, and they're going to want the peace that man has.
You know, I think of Gil in New York. That's one of our callers. recently.
You know, right.
Gil's blind, and his mother's not a believer, but he lives at home. And he gave a testimony a few weeks ago that he really couldn't even hardly read for whatever reason. And somebody at a health food store gave him the Bible in Braille.
Yeah.
You know? And now when he calls up, you know, he quotes scripture that is applicable, and he is a testimony.
Yeah.
He truly is. It encourages me and makes me think, you know, I can, I don't have to learn to read with my fingers. You know, I still have both the eyes that God gave me. to read the Word and to apply it. Now, if I do, you know, that's good. That's good, and it'll be a blessing to me. If I don't, you know, that's on me.
Right.
But you're right. There are so many out there that have had, whether it's so much or so less, allow them to right here. You know, it goes on right here in 37 where you left off. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. And right above it in 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? You know, Gil's got that figured out. I think, John, I think your electrician buddy's got that figured out.
Oh, yeah.
And to a Bible-reading people and Bible-believing people, when people can go back and read the story of Job, or any of the people, you know, nobody, you tell me anybody in this Bible that just had smooth sailing all the way through.
Well, you get the Book of Martyrs, you know, and or you even get a big family Bible, and it'll list you in some of them the deaths of the apostles,
mm-hmm.
you know. And for some reason, people have this idea that they're going to be able to escape all that, you know. Not necessarily.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, if it happened to the most righteous men we can read about, believe me, it can happen to us.
It can happen to us that are a little less righteous as well. Well, I think when it says, what you read, will tribulation, and this is what will separate us from the love of God, will tribulation, to me that means when tribulation comes in your life, because it will, and it does, and it has, is that tribulation that is coming
going
to separate you? Or distress? When you get, because, and I remember the pastor, you know, he said, you got to weather the storms because the storms come.
Right.
Yeah.
You either weather them or you don't. You weather them and you believe what Kyle read here. You know, the distress comes, the persecution comes, the famine comes. You know, it's not always famine of food. You know, sometimes it's famine of love. You know, sometimes there's family members out there that just don't love you anymore. It's just simple as that. Either by their actions or by, you know, what they say. We've had that. We've experienced it. We see it out there. You hear about it in the extended congregation. You know, it may be famine of job, famine of money, famine of food. It might be, but those things come. They come.
Right.
Do they separate us from Christ? They shouldn't. They shouldn't, because they're usually only for a season. They're for our teaching. They're for our training. Peril, sore. It's almost like saying, "Listen here, followers. This is going to happen. When it happens to you, remember what it says in 31, if God is for us, who's against us?"
Right. It's good to see there's, you know, I know I got a couple of testimonies. Basically, a Monday, right after that fire, I took Dave out to lunch and met a lady there who, her children go to the same Christian school that mine do, and she found out he was displaced, and she came up and gave him several $100 and just said, just take this. And he didn't want to take it, you know. And I said, hey, take it, because when the Holy Spirit convicts you to do something, you do it. What she doesn't realize is that Dave had given a lot of hours in that school working for free. So God rewarded him for that. And then also one of the operators here at work, her mother passed away, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months ago, has a house that's fully furnished, and she hasn't done anything with it, just let it sit. She calls him up when she found out about it, that he could have lost his house, and said, hey, we have this house that's sitting here. You can live in it for free as long as you need to, you know? So it's just...
You know, what a blessing to hear those type things, and I hope the listeners out there that are joining us are that it puts a smile on their face as well.
Yeah. You know? I got another one, too. You remember several months ago, a man in Nebraska, we called about his son who cut his leg real bad, had to rush him to the hospital. Fortunately, he was smart enough to put a tourniquet on it, or his son may not have made it. But he sent me a text the other day, and the hospital bill for that was $22,000. Well, those people, they used to be in the furniture business and moving mobile homes and things like that, and economy's been tough on them. But they continue to tithe religiously. No matter what they make, they tithe. And God made that $22,000 bill go away. Mm-hmm. And Now, you tell me, would it be better to keep those couple hundred dollars in your pocket and not follow God's law and have a $22,000 hospital bill, or follow God's law and have him bless you like that?
Amen.
Quite a testimony.
It is.
Amen.
So, you know, the good outweigh the bad in this world. It's unfortunate that the bad play chess, and we play checkers, and they started playing chess so many years ago that they're in the positions making the decisions that affect us. So we just got to continue to bind them.
Well, why don't we open the phone lines up? There might be somebody awake here who wants to call in and have a comment or two. And the number here, 307-745-5913, if you do have a comment or a question. And we've still got about half the program to go, so we'll open that up. I just flipped over the end of Ephesians, Ephesians 6. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free.
Yeah, it's good.
And it reminds me of a comment you've made several times, John, and you've lived, and that is, you can't outgive God. Now, I know some people that try. and if anybody's tried, I think John has. But, you know, and it ties in with, you know, storing up your treasures in heaven. It truly does. And it's good to hear those testimonies, John. It surely is. You know, your operator at work, that, you know, surely she's still grieving for the loss of her mom, you know.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, there's times when you go through that, I can picture it in my mind, you know, that she's saying, well, what do we do with mom's house? Well, I just can't deal with it right now. So we just have to wait. I don't know. And I think it's the Holy Spirit that comes in and says, just wait. It's not time to deal with it yet.
Yeah.
And because he knows all things, the Holy Spirit knows all things, and he has this planned out, because he knows 6 or 7 or 8 months later, this is going to happen, and that this person's going to be displaced, and there's going to be a need.
Yep.
And he works all that to good. You know, I've said it before. We I think it's in Matthew. Christ is rebuking the people and the Pharisees, and he says, it's an evil and perverse generation that looks for a sign or asks for a sign. But that doesn't mean God doesn't give signs. And I think he gives signs like that to his people time and time and time again. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Calvin.
Good morning, Cal. How are you?
Hey, Calvin. How are you?
Very well. Hi, John. My apologies to you, John. I didn't remember your name was Jonathan, and I endorsed that little writing in the front of that Bible with, I think, the name J-O-H-N. Both are fine, but I'd like Jonathan to be yours, just like your dad did.
Amen.
Anyway,
that's all right. The intention
was
there. So
you fellows put forth that effort. That was a fine meeting. Just a glorious time to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Just great.
It was a blessing having you there too, brother.
Well, thank you. I was talking to Mark and, well, Valerie. Mark is a new friend in Christ that I found out there. There's just been a wonderful meeting. And I was telling the folks back here that I have always few people I tell, but I said, there was a spirit there that you just could not put words to. It was a heartfelt spirit between the men and women that were there, and the children were so delightful, so well-dressed, so well-behaved. What a testimony. What a testimony.
Well, praise the Lord, Cal. We sure, again, like John said, we sure appreciate you taking the time and driving from halfway across the country and taking the time and the effort to come out and to help make it what it was.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate doing, also being able to do what the Lord had requested or given instruction to, that if you had a situation where you were ill, to call for the elders, have them anoint you, pray over you, and any sins that you were hiding or been deceived of, that you be confessed. Not only would you be having prayers for healing, but also forgiveness of sins would accompany it. And what a great testimony. The pastor has left a crew of men dedicated to Jesus as he was. And I think that when that staff fell out of that truck and broke in four pieces, that was the greatest sign that, to me, instantly realized what had happened. That his ministry or vision was over and he could return to his boy, Marty. And the fellows who were going to take over were four of them. And I guess that's you. You're
well,
chosen.
Thank you, Kevin. Keep praying for us.
Keep up the good work, man. And
thank you, Lord willing, we'll see you.
I'm abundantly blessed, so therefore you be abundantly blessed. In the name
Amen,
of Jesus.
Amen, brother.
Thank you,
Cal. Okay, good morning.
Yep, good morning. Have a great weekend. Sure good to hear from Cal. He's what a blessing. What a blessing.
What a testimony, too.
Yes.
It was pretty late in his years when he decided to give his life to Jesus Christ and be baptized and walk the walk, so praise God. We can learn a lot from a man like that.
Amen. Time for a sip of coffee.
Well, I've been watching a little bit of what's going on in the world, and it appears that some of these atheist fights are losing, which is a good sign. There in Massachusetts, some family sued the school for the Pledge of Allegiance. They wanted Under God removed from the Pledge of Allegiance, and they overturned that, so they weren't able to get that through. That was encouraging. It's amazing the gall that these atheists have.
Well, that's just what it is. It's gall. You know, and how we learned that from the pastor. How many times do we say that? You know, we see these people, you know, whether they're, like you said, John, the atheist in Massachusetts, or whether they're right here close to us, and they do things, and we just say, how do they have the gall to do that?
Yep.
Those things that...
Because they are their father, the devil, that's how.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's what it is.
Well, how about a little exhortation here?
Sounds good.
Read, of course, it's the words of Paul. I'm not saying I'm exhorting you, but I'm going to read the words of Paul, which will exhort you. And what am I in here? I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll start in verse 14. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
There's a lot there in those few verses. A lot
yeah,
there,
there is.
A lot there that not only exhort me, but rebuke me.
Right. Keep you on the straight and narrow.
Yep.
Yeah, there's another one here. This Texas City Council votes to reinduce prayer and the pledge after 37 years into their city council meetings. And what's interesting is, like the mayor says, well, we don't want to offend any of the Muslims or the Jews in the community, you know, this and that. But fortunately, there was only one no vote, and the rest were all yes. So God bless Texas.
Well, you know,
coming back.
I think there's some places in Texas, you know, last year they were burning up like crazy and had droughts. And I mean, thousands of homes lost last year in that Bastrop fire.
Yeah.
And I think that it has gotten some people's attention. Now, those things happen in California, and they just seem to wave it off. But it seems like maybe that's got some people's attention in Texas. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, sir. There are a couple things said this morning that struck some chords with me. One of them was the, I think Jan was saying about the people who had been evacuated, weren't able to go back to their homes for a couple days. And down in African country, down in South Florida, I was in a mandatory evacuation zone a couple of times, and I didn't leave, and nobody I knew left. I talked to somebody who was in Key Largo, where the hurricane went right through the center of that thing, and I talked to him on the phone that day. He says, "Well, you know, because they don't let them go back, and they can they'll keep them out of there for a week, week and a half, while our homes are being looted and everything." You know. But people just don't leave. The other thing was the hospital bill. Now, you know, I've only been tithing for, well, it's not even 10 years. So, and I had a hospital bill of $62,000. It was about 7 years ago. It got wiped out. And I'm sure all of my tithes for the last 10 years didn't come close to $62,000. So, you know, if I were sitting there like an accountant saying, well, does this pay off, you know? That's about it.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nice second witness for that this morning.
Yeah, thanks for the testimony.
Works in the same way all over the place.
Amen.
Wow. It's good to hear those kind of things. We hope you're hearing them out there. We truly do. And hearing them and believing them. Don't be like that wicked and perverse generation that sees signs and doesn't believe them and then continues to ask for them.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, as soon as the city council in Texas passed this law, Freedom From Religion, our friends over there, filed a lawsuit against them. But, you know, it's about time we get a backbone and start standing up for what we believe and not afraid of these stinking atheists, even with their big lawyers. And greater is he that is for us than those that are against us. So.
Absolutely.
You know, like our pastor taught us, it's a pretty easy word. You just put your tongue on the top of your mouth and you just say, no,
yeah,
period.
First thing you should do is be a follower of Jesus Christ and say, woe unto you lawyers. I mean, whether you verbally say it or say it in your mind, but get some backbone and know that he that is for you is greater than he that is against you. And take that authority. You know, they can kill your body. They can. But that's all they can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is such a, I mean, when you get down to it, when you get down to the nuts and bolts, if you can ever sink that into your heart and your mind and your soul, you know, that's when you'll be able to use your strength and stand and walk in the Spirit, because you'll know all they can do. All they can do is hang you upside down or boil you in oil, which nobody wants to go through that. But that's all that they can do, and you'll have eternal life forever. You know?
Yeah. That's like the pastor said in What Time Is It? He says, I'm risking my church, my ministry, my family, and my life, that my God is greater than their God.
Yeah.
You know, what a testimony. And you could see it in his eyes, the how it was coming from his heart, and he meant it.
And that was over 20 years ago.
Yep.
And every
just
Christian...
Just two messages, we... Just go ahead.
I was just going to say, every Christian has cheated and looked at the end of the book, and they know we win. So
yeah.
It's not like they should have doubt. You
right.
know? But anyway,
exactly.
Go ahead, John.
Well, the two messages that were presented at Branson, if that doesn't give you a backbone to stand up and fight for what's right, then you might be in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, I think that's the plan this weekend to play the other one. But they're quite a testimony of a man who would not back down no matter what the consequences. And he taught us that, and we need to follow in those footsteps. So not only here in this ministry, but we as Christian soldiers.
Amen. You know, Paul and Timothy were in that position. I've flipped over to 2 Timothy. And you know, Paul is writing to a younger Timothy and exhorting him, giving him instructions.
You think about the example.
Go ahead.
Dad had, you know, a unique ability to mix humor and truth and, you know, just bring all this together to keep your attention for 50 minutes. You know, that these pastors can't keep your attention for 10 to 15 minutes. And obviously it was a gift from God. But when he brought up that being, you know, in heaven and meeting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Joshua and,
In his daymare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole key. If you want to, do you want to know people out there? If your preacher is a man of God, does he edify you? Does he exhort you? Does he enlighten the scriptures? What the pastor used to say? He used to say, a good preacher makes the complicated simple, and a bad preacher makes the simple complicated. And that's the truth. You know, and if you don't understand any of them, if you can't hear the word of God, then check yourselves. You might not be one of his sheep, or you might just have eyes being blind. Yeah, or the wrong shepherd. Right.
Right. Yeah. Interesting when you talk to people of the world and you say, "Well, let me tell you something. If your church isn't being persecuted, then you're not going to the right church." You know, and they look at you like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, our pastor used to say, you may love your preacher right now, but you're going to hate him on Judgment Day." And then they start to think.
Yeah. I remember going to meeting a friend, and we went, and we were going to go listen to this pastor or whatever. He was from Idaho or somewhere. Anyway, he came to the Portland area, and we went out and listened to him, and he spoke for an hour on one verse of the Bible. He got down to the word "the," and it was such a waste of time. But yet, we're looking around at the people that were there, and we're, you know, they were like completely satisfied, but yet I know for a fact they didn't learn anything, because we asked a couple of them as we were leaving, we were trying to be good Christian people and having good fellowship and being nice, and it was nice, you know, about the sermon, and none of them had anything that they could say, you know, about what they were edified with or what they learned, and it was an hour of one verse of the Bible. You know, that was just a waste of everybody's time in there. But it gave them that feeling of righteousness, because they did something good, you know, right, in their minds.
They had their ears tickled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the key to learning is repetition, and I'm sure Kyle can attest to this, that the more that you watch and listen to these sermons, the more you get out of them.
It
so
is.
So in God's infinite wisdom, he's preserved this for his people, you know.
It's called faith, and faith comes by hearing by the word of God, and how shall you hear unless it be preached? I mean, it's just that simple, you know, and you think, well, pastor's dead now. Yeah, well, all the apostles are dead. You know, are you telling me there isn't faith in this Bible? You know, I mean, we're talking about true preaching, true Holy Spirit-inspired man, you know, and I don't care if you listen to one CD or tape 50 times. I guarantee you, you know, if you're looking for truth, there'll be a new nugget of truth given to you that 50th time.
That's right.
Now, you might forget it. You know, you might lose it.
You know, what I've been trying to do, and what I encourage people to do is if you've heard these sermons before, you know, you certainly haven't seen them, more than likely. If you join us for church tomorrow morning, whatever sermon that we have there, whatever message that Jason has put together that we put out for DVD Church tomorrow, if nothing else, take notes.
Hello.
Write down. Oh, John, your dog's quiet. Waking us up this morning. And I'll knock you down there, John, for a minute, at least to volume here, and let you get the dog out of there. But you know
Dumb
what?
Dog
you,
can't
what you
apparently.
Can do what?
Dumb dog can't see too good apparently. Barking at Jody.
Yeah. And I don't think your dog hears too well either, and she definitely doesn't know her name, but that's all right. But you know, take notes. If nothing else, write down the scripture verses that the pastor uses. It's all that I can do to bring them up on the screen. He usually goes through them so fast. You know, because, like Kyle said, they are it's a Holy Spirit inspired message. It's bringing you truth, and it's making something that may be complex in the Bible, it's making it simple. And it simplifies it. And it's just the opposite of how most of the so-called Christians in the world are today. They claim to have understanding, but they can't tell you about salvation. What do you have to do to be saved? They can't tell you because they don't know.
But they can ramble on for hours about it.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I've had that experience here in town with a so-called Christian, fine Christian man. You know, he can ramble on about sanctification and holiness of life and, oh, how his life changed when he just accepted Jesus and, oh, just God is good and, oh, love you, brother, and good to see you. And, you know, his smile rivals that of old Osteen out there. And, you know, but...
Yeah.
But they're
well,
just confused.
Do you remember the message we played a few weeks ago? Basic economic principles?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
And while you're on that, John, let you know we did get those DVDs out, just so you know.
Okay, good.
All right, good. Go ahead, Kyle.
You send that one shirt out, too?
Yes.
But we've all heard on the radio or maybe live or whatever, we've all heard these economic gurus. And they can talk for, I'm talking hours, on basic economic principles. And in that one, whatever it was, 55-minute message, there is so much more truth than you'll hear anywhere. You know, now, you might not be able to follow all the truth because some of us have reaped what we've sown and we're in a different situation. But if you can start from the get-go. But the fact of the matter is, the preaching and the teaching that came out in that message, you know, they can have seminars with 20 speakers, 40 hours each, and you won't get the truth that you get in that one little 55 minute.
Because that truth comes from wisdom.
Absolutely.
From truth, which is the Word.
Yeah.
When I met with the youth this year, that was one of the things I told them. I says, if you follow the economic principles in this sermon, you will be successful, not only in the world, but in your Christian walk.
Yeah. And I think one of the major ones is to tithe. We talked about it before. You heard two testimonies
today
from people that call unsolicited testimonies is what those economic gurus would say. These are unsolicited. I can't even say that this morning. Too much coffee. Unsolicited testimonies. It's just what it is. You know, it's God's math. He truly can do more with your 90% than you can do with your 100%. It's just the way it is. It's just a law, one of the laws that God set up. Test me in this, he said.
It's the only thing he says, test me.
It is. And you know, we've had...
Well, some of Dad's stories on tithing, too, you know. One point when he was so broke, he figured he couldn't tithe, and it just got worse and worse. And then he learned the hard way that trust in God no matter what. And all of a sudden... there'd be a check in the mail from somebody from 7 years ago that finally decided to pay him, or, you know, or somebody gets it put on their heart to give, you know, money. I've had that happen to me a lot of times. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and if you're abundantly blessed, then you need to listen and share, is the way I see it.
Amen. Well, before we run out of time, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We won't wait till the end of the broadcast to do that. Come to church with us. If you're in LaPorte, you can just come on down to the church. We're still open. The fire's not encroaching upon the church or anything at all. If you're not in LaPorte, you can join us at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And it's just as simple as that. We start at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. That's 11 o'clock Central and noon Eastern. And you can come right there, click on the live video stream at 10 a.m., Mountain tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, and we'll have a good scriptural insight and study, some good sound biblical teachings for you, and we'll have some good music, we'll have a communion message, and we'll have a Holy Spirit inspired sermon from Pastor Peters. And so we do invite you to join us there for fellowship, for communion, for songs of praise, and for hearing of the Word, for hearing the Word being preached. And if you just can't, maybe you don't have good internet, maybe you're listening on the shortwave right now or something like that, we have hundreds that we mail we record that sermon, the entire service, 2-hour service tomorrow, onto a DVD, and we'd be glad to mail that out to you. We do have DVD Church. We mail them out. Do our best to mail them out on Mondays when the DVD gets recorded and everything falls in place. So we do encourage you to, if you can't join us tomorrow, many people get the DVD and watch it the next Sunday. And so we have that available as well. If you'd like to do that, you can write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We also do have email. It's preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org.
It's a good invite. So, I'll read here in 1 Corinthians 6. I read it on Saddle Up this week, but I can't read it enough because every time I read it, it kind of, you know, convicts me. Because, you know, everybody is always saying, what do we do? You know, do we fight over here? Do we fight over there? And you should fight every chance you get to stand up for God. You should do it.
Amen.
But here is what every man, woman, and child out there could learn from on what to do. And it's basically what not to do first. And that is this, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then it says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, like Pastor used to say on some of his messages, if you don't fit in one of those categories or didn't fit in one of those categories, he'd find one that you do fit in. You know, and if you look, you can find one that would fit you. You know, and if not, you know, everybody does talk about the kingdom, and they should talk about the kingdom, you know, building the walls of the kingdom, restoring the kingdom. How about let's enter the kingdom? Seek ye first the kingdom, enter the kingdom. And you're not going to enter the kingdom if you live in the flesh like this.
Amen.
You're only going to enter it if you're washed and then you walk in the Spirit. I mean, that's the truth. And we can walk in the Spirit every second of every day of our life. Even if it's while we're driving down the road and we just take our thoughts captive.
Yes.
That's walking in the Spirit. And if you don't walk in the Spirit, if you continue to walk in the flesh, it doesn't matter how hard you try to fight against Babylon, how hard you try to rebuild the walls of the New Jerusalem or what. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is in vain if you continue to walk in the flesh and it's the lust of pride or, you know, the lust of the flesh or the lust of your eyes or the pride of life. All those are walking in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Yeah, Lord says, I'll punish their disobedience when your obedience is complete.
Absolutely. Hopefully he gets to use the bottom of our boots to do it, you know?
I mean, yep.
But,
yep, absolutely. And, you know, right before that, it says, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. And so if these things seem foolish to you, you're still the natural man. And you're still, like Kyle said, walking in that flesh. You have to get beyond that. And I like what it says here. Is how do you do that? It says we were that way. Some of you were that way, it says. Some of us were that way. I can raise my hand.
Yeah, me too.
I can raise both hands and put both boots in the air. Okay? But, it says. And remember what we learned about but? But negates everything that comes before it, right?
That's what he taught.
That's what it does. But negates everything that comes before it. And that's what this but does. But you were washed.
Yeah.
And that references back, I've got down to Acts 22 and Ephesians 5:26 highlighted in my Bible. And that means you were baptized. And there's several things that go with that. Surely belief, all who believe shall be saved. Yeah, it's first step. But if you believe, you'll obey. Yeah. And one of the things you have to obey is baptism, repentance and baptism. And so, yes, such were some of you. Such were some of us. But negates it all. You were washed.
What a praise report right there.
You were washed. Hallelujah. Well, John, we got about 2 minutes, and we're going to go out with one of the pastor's favorite songs like we usually do on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. So I'll give it to you guys, and then I'll just say welcome and come to church tomorrow.
I'll say something real quick, and then you close it out, John. We are, don't let anybody talk you out of it. We are in the kingdom right now if you've been washed. If you've been baptized, if you are in the kingdom, act like it. Don't walk around saying, we got to have the kingdom. We are in the kingdom. We just got to take it. It's there for the taking. You know, Christ died, and it's there. You know? And you do that by, like I said, putting aside the flesh, walking in the Spirit, and act like you're serving the King. Go ahead.
Yep, I would just encourage everyone to continue to pray fervently, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for joining us for coffee this morning. I drank all my coffee. Let's see. Yep, it's all gone. I didn't bring a thermos, but a nice big mug. We do thank you for joining us, and it is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Our address, if you want to write, we do. This ministry is supported by the saints, by their tithes and free will offerings. If you want to write to us and support us, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And that's here in the good old USA. It'll be even better USA one day. And that USA is right in the middle of the new Jerusalem. Hopefully we'll see you at church tomorrow. Thanks a lot, guys.
Rolling, rolling, rolling,
stay high. Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, big high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.